Mr. Ali Kabah, presidential aspirant of the Sierra Leone People's Party. Good afternoon to you and welcome to the Sierra Leone Telegraph. This is Abdulrashid Thomas.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Glad to be with you today.
Okay, well, will you please tell us who is Mr. Ali Kabah?
I am a humble servant of our people, especially the marginalized poor and the youth who have been pushed to the sidelines as the usual suspects in the mafia politics, you know, class today in Sierra Leone have made a mess of our democracy and our economy. I am a long fighter for social justice, and I've always stood up against the impunity of the naked abuse of power in Sierra Leone and every place else that I've lived in. I don't just talk the talk, I always walk the talk, as happened when FPC Student Union President in 1985, barely out of my teens, I said no to Shaka Stevens, totalitarian state, and led students and the youth in demonstrations against him and the one-party dictatorship there. But most importantly, I believe in Sierra Leone and the basic decency and resilience of our people and the resourcefulness of our youth. They are my heroes. I am inspired by people who are struggling every day for dignity. And I feel that my life is an integral part of that quest to make human beings live the fullest in terms of that sense of dignity and the opportunity to live their life in such dignity. That is why my personal story is intertwined with the constant struggle to fight for the voiceless and the marginalized in society. That defines who I am. And that is who I will always be, as the person who will give voice to the social justice aspirations of those who are on the margins, who are neglected and often bullied by the political class in society.
Well, that is very interesting. And I'm sure what readers or listeners would be curious to know is, why does Ali Kabah want to be the president of Sierra Leone?
Of my fellow compatriots today, both at home and in the diaspora, I am sick and tired of generations of politicians making a mess of our beautiful country. How can a resource-rich country like Sierra Leone be reduced to such hopeless poverty by some of the greediest politicians on the face of the earth? Since independence, as I've always maintained, with all the diamonds, gold, iron ore, and other riches that God has blessed us with, we remain one of the poorest countries in the world. And now our greedy politicians form alliances with international gangsters like Frank Timmis, who brought the disaster of African minerals and London mining for the sole purpose of flipping off millions of dollars. They got their millions, shared it, and then fired our own hardworking people and left us in poverty. If I become president, I'll put a stop to this kind of criminal politics, because if it continues, we may not have a nation called Sierra Leone in the next 50 years. I will simply not allow the kind of shady mafia politics to continue wreaking havoc in Sierra Leone. I want to change the political culture that has permitted the abuse of power and remove the heavy boot of impunity from the neck of the youth and the 99% poor. I'm running because I have concrete, commonsensical, and pragmatic plans to revive the economy, concretize the rule of law, bring back the railway, create an electric grid and programs for youth empowerment. And I have the vision to transform Sierra Leone into a country that pulls its people from absolute unnecessary poverty and bequeath the next generation with a country that is robust economically and democratically. That is why I say that at the end of my presidency, Sierra Leone will be a shining light on the hilltop of Africa. We must be a nation where 6 million people live their lives in dignity. And we should not be going around the world with empty bowls in hand for every crisis that hits us. We shouldn't be standing out there in Washington or London or Paris or Brussels asking for grants and assistance when we have the capacity as human beings to make the best of God's given resources that we have as a nation, to stand up with that backbone of dignity and reflect our own aspirations in the policies that we champion as leaders of a country that deserves better than what we have received since independence. That is why I am running. I am running as the quintessential anti-establishment candidate. I am not the candidate of the 1%. I'm the candidate of the 99%. And I'm fighting for those who have never had a fair chance, who have never had a fair shot at living their lives with dignity. Not because they don't study hard, not because they don't have the capacity. It's because we created a system that has systematically excluded their aspirations from the politics and the power that we find ourselves faced with today. That is why I am running, a voice for the 99%.
Okay, that is clear. Now, what perhaps many readers and listeners, people listening to you, would be interested to know is, what are your values and what's your philosophy? And how would you ensure that these values inform the very policies that you've just mentioned in terms of implementing them if you are elected president of Sierra Leone?
Childhood, and you can ask those I grew up with, I've always taken a dim view of bullies, because politicians who abuse their power to corruptly enrich themselves and lock up their opponents, or violate the constitution, or corrupt the judiciary, or overstay their term limit, are all bullies. Those who use thugs and the police to intimidate opponents are bullies. This was what caused me to lead young people to oppose Shaka Stevens when he was at his most fearsome. And I ended up at Palermo Road Prison, by the way. But I never came up, because I believed that the cause was right. And today, that is the thing that drives me the most. I believe in social justice. I believe in the rule of law and equality before the law of every Sierra Leonean, of every tribal color. Be you rich, poor, from the north, south, east, west, it shouldn't matter. I grew up with friends from all ethnic, regional, religious backgrounds. This is the true greatness of Sierra Leone. That is why people who practice tribal politics that slashes and bonds are not and will never be allowed in my circle of friends. We are one country and one people. That is the bottom line for me. Mm-hmm. And yes, how my values will inform my policies? It's very easy. I will always ask myself a simple question. Will this policy improve the lives and opportunity to advance of the 99% of our people who are kicked and abused by the oligarchs in power? Mm-hmm. Will this policy or program allow us to bequeath an economically sound and democratic country to future generations? Mm-hmm. Will this policy give a sense of dignity to our people? If the answer is yes, we shall implement. Whether it is economic policy, healthcare policy, employment policy, educational reform, everything that we do, I want to make sure that we are centered in the aspirations of our people. That is why my values have been formed since I was a young man, and I have always reflected those values in the struggles that I have led, both here in the United States and back home in Sierra Leone. I believe that at the end of the day, if policies do not improve the lives of ordinary people, if policies are only working for the 1%, then that society will never know peace or justice. We must make sure that the values of shaping policies to improve the lives of ordinary people are the center of every discussion that we engage in order to move our nation forward.
Okay, well, let us look at specific policy areas then. You know, what I would be interested in hearing, and I'm sure that's what readers and listeners would be interested in hearing as well, is what would you do in order to tackle the key challenges that are faced by the 6 million people living in Sierra Leone in terms of poverty, unemployment, health, education, the economy, electricity, water, housing, and sanitation, the list goes on. What would you do if elected president of Sierra Leone?
Well, let me say this. I doubt if we can ever have all the money to solve all the problems of society. Mm-hmm. What we can do, however, is to maximize our resources. Mm-hmm. And with a mix of governmental action and free market forces, tackle those problems that affect the most people. problems will not be wished away or ignored. We'll have to deal with them with common sense and pragmatism, in my view. Well, let's look at poverty generally. Poverty is the sum total of the complete breakdown of all institutions of government.
Mm-hmm.
And all institutions designed to make life better for people since independence. No society is poor where people have jobs, good education, healthcare working for them. We are poor because we have this total breakdown. And that is why I have the complete, comprehensive, interconnected set of policy priorities to address the issues that you outlined. The vast majority of our people do not have access to banking, for example. They cannot get a loan to start a business or expand one. One of the things that I've said, and it is even on my website, is that I'll canvass the world for funds and make sure that we also prioritize our own internal resources to make sure that we provide opportunities for people who are not served by traditional banking today to have access to credit. And I believe that if we can provide families and farmers in particular, petty traders, with access to credit, they will expand their production and therefore lift themselves out of poverty without a massive government-run bureaucracy. I am not an advocate for government intrusion into the lives of folks. We have to now make sure that government actually works in partnership with the private sector. And I believe that if we invest in our small farmers, guess what? We'll be able to achieve national food security within a short time. That's why we will make sure that we reduce our imports and increase our exports. But at the heart of what I'm saying here is that we need a new kind of economy in Sierra Leone. We need a manufacturing-based economy. That is the only way that we can tackle massive unemployment. We cannot continue to export raw coffee and cacao and diamond and all of the resources we have without adding value to them before export. Look at South Korea. They looked at where they were and figure out how they are going to take advantage of the global economy at that point in time, and decided to fashion an educational system that produced the labor force necessary to embark upon the manufacturing economy that they realized was the only way to lift their people out of poverty. So that is why, in terms of addressing 70% youth unemployment in Sierra Leone today, I am calling for the establishment of vocational and technical schools in all districts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I want to do that is because we can then train our young people in the areas that we think important in order to get us to that point of having a manufacturing-based economy. Here is the things that I think we should really have to make that happen. We need to focus on trainings in the areas of auto and diesel mechanics, waste management, municipal sanitation, road construction and maintenance, agricultural technology, organic farming, electricity, carpentry, ventilation, air conditioning, ecotourism, in my view, consumer electronics and computer technology and others, because that's where the world is today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going a step further, that on graduation from this technical institute, students will be given loans, government-guaranteed loans, to start their own businesses and create employment opportunities for others. Look at all these other countries. Even the so-called free market economies, they pretend like government doesn't subsidize anything. No, we must subsidize these young people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. We have to take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
That is how market economies operate. And I intend to make a strong case for that to our development partners. What works in the United States of America or Britain should work in Sierra Leone. Don't tell me that government should not invest in healthcare or in education or provide those government-guaranteed loans and incentives for people to create businesses. So what I want to see at the end of it all is that we must create a nation of entrepreneurs in which young entrepreneurs will thrive and succeed. And as president, I will eliminate waste and redundancy in our bureaucracy, and use the savings to establish enterprise zones in all regions of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And in those enterprise zones, we'll invest in business incubators so that they will promote the synergy we need to keep the takeoff for entrepreneurs who just need a little help to break out and create the next generation of economic activities that I hope will reduce our unemployment rate. Not to zero, I'm not promising that.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from Amilcar Cabral one thing, you know, tell no lies, claim no easy victory. I'm not a politician who's coming to tell people that I will reduce unemployment from 70 to zero. Mm-hmm. But I will bring it to a level where it's manageable. It doesn't create this distortion today that we face with, in which we have a demographic opportunity that is going to waste. We have young men and women today who are their prime, but unfortunately, we are not investing in them. So I want to be the voice of those young people to make sure that this generation becomes the greatest generation since independence. We have more than half of our population to the young folks who need help. So that is why I'm strategically focusing on that. Demography is our greatest opportunity, but right now, because of the kind of government we have, we are wasting that opportunity. The other thing that I want to focus on is to make sure that we bring back the railway. There is no way that we can fight poverty, lift the rural economy from the lifeless state it is in today, without providing the transportation infrastructure that we need.
But bringing back the railway is going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. How do you think we can afford that?
Everything costs money.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to prioritize. Right now, we are spending millions of dollars on so many things anyway, but the money is disappearing in the private bank account of so many people in power.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is to study the economic impact of the railway in a free market way and make sure that when you look at the end product, which is revitalizing our rural economy, helping us achieve national food security because farmers will be able to produce more, bringing employment to those sectors of our society that have been left back, because wherever the railway stops, there's going to be economic activity there.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting the railway to the vocational education that I'm emphasizing on, so that the workforce, the labor that is needed to maintain the railway will be domestic. We are not going to have a railway that will be manned and operated by outsiders. That's basically continue the same siphoning of our resources. I know that if we make a good, compelling economic case for it and see it as a national priority, it will happen. It is not impossible at all. I know when Kwame Nkrumah talked about the Akosombo Dam, many people said he was crazy. And when he said he needed to build them an industrial port city, they thought he was just too high on something from the United States of America. I'm telling you that visionaries must be bold enough to create the conditions that will help us tackle the big problems.
Okay, well, I mean, this government seems to be prioritizing road construction. And in fact, they have spent well over $400 million in building new roads, which cynics says leads to nowhere. Would that have been your priority? Assuming that you elected in 2018 as president of Sierra Leone, will road building continue to be a priority for government?
Sorry, you cut out for a minute.
Yes, I just mentioned that the government has spent, this Koroma government has spent,
yes,
hundreds of millions of dollars on road construction. If you were elected president of Sierra Leone today, would that also be your priority at the expense of other policy areas?
Yes, there are some roads that have been constructed, but we must be also mindful of one fact, that there has been huge cost overruns. What I want to do is to eliminate corruption so that we can even have more bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
We need to continue the road construction, yes. But what I'm looking at is an integrated national transportation system, mm-hmm, in which we have the railway, we have, of course, you know, the road network there. We should also think about investing in domestic and regional air transportation. I believe that we must bring back Hastings Airport. Hastings will act as a corridor for low-cost domestic flights, not just in Sierra Leone, but in the region, perhaps the Mano River area. And the reason why I say Hastings is that it will become the anchor for the revitalization of the Eastern Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we should also look at it from the maritime perspective too. We are a nation with a huge access to the Atlantic Ocean. Why is it that we are not thinking about our marine resource policy in an integrated way? I see no reason why we should not invest in our own maritime transportation network so that places like Bonds will not sink in the ocean because we do not have a way to connect Bonds to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking at here is that we need to start thinking big and in an integrated way. Transportation is not one-dimensional. We can do the roads, but we can also bring back the railway and bring back Hastings and make sure that we focus on connecting the maritime coast in a way that will help create jobs for young people, tapping into our marine resources, connecting it to the kind of technical education that we're going to provide so that we'll have the labor force to be the manpower for bringing back our naval resources into our own nation. And then if we choose to export, we choose to export with value added to those things that we are constantly being told that we just need to export raw and without value, and most cases, the price is set by outsiders. I want to renegotiate the terms of trade for us, but do it not as a government-imposed approach to running the economy, but one in which we will look at data, one in which government will partner with the private sector to make sure that our own people are not left behind when it comes to prosperity that is expected from exploiting our own resources.
Okay. Do you think that the government has made a very good case for a new international airport?
The new airport?
Yes, that's right. The government. Do you think they've made a very good case for a new airport, an international airport?
Well, my position on this Mamama Airport is pretty much in the public domain now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me reemphasize it here.
Mm-hmm.
That as looking at our country today, what we needed to have done was to take that money and actually modernize Lungi Airport,
mm-hmm.
expand it like we do in this part of the world. Every 5 years, whether it is O'Hare Airport here in Chicago or the Kennedy Airport in New York, there's constant expansion. We expand what we have.
Yep.
Instead of trying to create an airport in a bush that
yep.
is not connected in any organic way to economic activities there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even have a helicopter yet. Where are we going into the bush to put up in the new airport? We should have used half that money to modernize Lungi and then revitalize Hastings Airport as a corridor for low-cost domestic air transportation, not just for Sierra Leone, but for the Mano River Union area. And that will provide more jobs for our own local economy than going into that bush there without even a well-thought-out plan as to how that is going to help our economy prosper. I am for modernity. But I want to make sure that it is modernity that is rational.
Okay.
You cannot come up with projects that are simply ways to siphon resources away from priority areas.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's nothing but a cesspool of corruption. When we look back years from now and look at the money that was spent on it and what we got out of it and the lack of impact on economic activity within Sierra Leone, it will become clear to everybody that was a project that was not meant to really improve upon our air transportation network, but a sweet body deal. And I need to be clear here. As president, I will constantly subject every project, every major national project, to the scrutiny of rational thinking. that we must analyze the impact at all levels. How is this going to improve our healthcare sector? How is this going to improve our economy? How is this going to have impact on agriculture? How is this going to help us create jobs for people? If the answers are negative, then there's no need to do that. I will not put projects in areas just because of political consideration. If something works in bonds, let us make it work there. If we need a fishery industry, maybe that's where we should place it. Don't go place it in Kenema. Don't go put an airport in a place that's not having an impact on the lives of people when half of that money could have done well for us in Lunge and Hastings and not saddle next generation with the burden of debt plus interest. That is my concern when it comes to Mamama Airport. I am not opposed to modernity, but it has to be modernity that is subject to rational scrutiny.
Okay, Mr. Kabar, let's now talk about a subject which I'm sure is also very close to your heart, especially at this very moment in time, and that is SLPP, your party, which at the moment appears to be fragmented and is seen by many as a party that is not at ease with itself or not at peace with itself. What are you going to do to help build peace and unity, as well as improve the chances of the party winning the 2018 elections, rather?
Yes, good question. I have always maintained from the day that I declared to run for Flagbearer of Sierra Leone People's Party and be the next president of Sierra Leone, that the pathway to winning lies in unity. SLPP must be the party of bold ideas. And we must keep true to who we are. A party that was founded on this town premise to create one out of many, one country, one people. Too often, when there is internal discord within a political party, whether it is SLPP or any other party, it is because leaders have taken their eyes off the ball. We must come back into the fold. The good news is that almost everyone within our party today live in the core values of the SLPP. No one is saying that we shouldn't be a party of one country, one people. But I have gone further. I am saying that not just one country, one people, we should practice the politics that is based on the premise of everyone in, no one out. Everyone up, no one down. We must engage in the politics of addition, not subtraction. And we must act with hope, not fear and mistrust. So what I have done from the beginning is to wage a campaign of ideas and vision to show others that we can have a healthy debate. And indeed, we can have policy disagreement without personal acrimony for the kind of attack that we see coming from different camps today. SLPP must understand today that we are the hope of our people. We are the vehicle to ensure that democracy is sustained in Sierra Leone. We are faced with a party in power today that has a history of concentrating power in the hands of the few. I know that because I was a victim of APC one-party dictatorship. SLPP must be the party that shows our people that when our democracy is under attack, when our economy is lifeless, that we can come and give hope to our people. My appeal to everyone in our party is this. History will judge us, especially if we fail to come together today at the time when our people need us the most. SLPP must choose the path that elevates political discourse in our country, show the rest of the nation how democracy is practiced and how we can come together with one goal in mind, knock out the APC, grow our economy, create a society of opportunity and responsibility for everyone, and make sure that the rule of law prevails in all aspects of our life.
Okay.
And my message is clear. I'm hopeful about that, that ultimately we'll come together. Mm-hmm. But we are at the point right now where everybody's basically looking for their own little piece of the pie in terms of electoral support. But I know that all of this will come together because history has taught me that when confronted with one major common obstacle to our vision, that we will come together ultimately and focus on the right task, which is to win, and win for SLPP and win for Sierra Leone.
So many SLPP supporters listening to you speaking today may come to the conclusion that Ali Kabaya sounds like a very reasonable chap that we can trust, we can elect as our flag bearer for 2018. But how do you rate your chances? What do you think are your chances of winning the SLPP flag bearer election next year?
My campaign is always operated on the simple premise that if we have the three M's and we make a compelling case and we stay true to who we are, that the party will understand that the best chance at winning the presidency, by the way, I'm emphasizing winning the presidency, just like they're winning the presidency, is to look at someone who can inspire our people, not just in one region, but all regions of the country. I am a candidate who came in to say we need to have a compelling message, we need to have the money, and we need to build the muscle. And I'm talking as an organizer, a community organizer here in Chicago, who knows what it means to bring people together, diverse people together around a shared vision. I believe that the three M's are things that will shape the decision ultimately of delegates, and I bring those three M's to the table. As an organizer, I know how to bring people together. That's why I always say that SLPP must move away from geography to embrace demography. Our chances are not limited to geography. That is the old model. I want to bring demography as the tool to win the presidency and have a majority in parliament. That means that we can win in the north and win in the west and win in the south and the east. What I want to do is to bring a new architecture of organizing that will ensure that we put together the best electoral ground game that will knock APC out completely, both in parliament and in the executive place, so that we can finally have the democracy that we deserve as a people.
Okay, I mean...
I am like the new kid on the block. I have a lot of folks who have been in there. This has been their job for decades. They know them for that. But I am a humble community organizer whose life story should inspire those who really want deep change. I am coming in very humble. I'm not coming in like the guy who should have the flag bearership at all costs or else the party will die, right? I'm coming in as the voice of sanity here. That says if we really want to work together, we need to have someone who can inspire people, who has the history of standing up for social justice and the voice of the common man. I am that person. I'm coming into this race because I believe that this is the moment for a new kind of leadership in Sierra Leone. Yes, I'm not the candidate of those who are in power today, I agree, and I'm not seeking their vote. I'm the candidate of the 99%, and I'll continue that work, win or lose, because my life story has always been fighting for social justice, and that's not going to change whether I'm in or out. That's going to be my life's quest, to fight for the right thing, for the right reasons, based on the right values that are outlined earlier on in our
discussion. Okay, I mean, come next year when the flag bearer election is held, there will only be one winner. If, unfortunately, you do not win, will you work with the elected candidate?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, the victory that I'm looking for is not Ali Kaba's victory. I am looking for SLPP's victory. I'm looking for a victory for democracy and the rule of law. I'm looking for a victory that will create opportunity for the 99% of our people. I am looking, in essence, for a new Sierra Leone, a Sierra Leone that will be a shining light on the hilltop of Africa. So I am coming in today, win or lose, to continue to advance that vision. And I believe that ultimately, whoever wins, will have to come to terms with this vision, because that is the only way we are going to win. I don't see anyone who's coming to make an apology for the status quo and win. I am coming in with clear visions, but I'm also I want SLPP victory. I will remain SLPP to the end, and I will continue to defend the party. At the same time, I will make sure that the party takes a progressive vision as the central element of its campaign in the next election. We must articulate a progressive vision for our people, or else we'll not give them the reason to see us as an alternative to the status quo. So I will support whoever wins if the delegates do not choose me. But I believe that at the end of the day, we must all work together to win. No single individual, even if it's Ali Kaba imagined as SLPP flag bearer, will win a successful electoral campaign against an entrenched political party like APC without all of us coming together to build a united national front of progressive and independent SLPP members, disaffected APC, and all other people who believe that SLPP can champion the fundamental aspirations of our people to create that society of opportunity and responsibility that I see as the central core of who we are as SLPP.
Okay, we are coming to the end, but I need to ask you to comment on the yesterday's and of course today Supreme Court ruling, which is still pending, by the way. I understand that we're still waiting for the final judgment, but it seems also that we are going to have a situation where the Supreme Court is going to rule in favour of President Koroma, and they are going to tell him that yes, you were quite right to have sacked the vice president, despite the fact that he was elected by the people, because it is within his rights to do so. What do you think?
Well, I was disappointed in the decision that came out yesterday, and I released a statement in the name of my campaign to basically say that what happened yesterday was bad and unfortunate, and that it seems we have not learned from history. Shaka Stevens basically butchered our constitution and made himself the supreme executive, and the country paid a price for that. The thing is that we have three branches of government, and what I've seen is that the more we work to ensure the separation of powers, the better our chances of creating a society in which the rule of law will always prevail. What we need to avoid here is the perception that the judiciary is in the pocket of the executive. That is not good for the health of our democracy, and it sends a message to the ordinary people out there that only the powerful have justice on their side. That is a threat to the future of a democracy. And what I say is this, that this is an opportunity for SLPP to reflect and come up with a very rational approach to how we embark upon our own internal reorganization and be ready for the election. If we allow such decisions to stand and SLPP does not come up with an alternative for a party, I think ultimately the people will not have a reason to believe that we are the party of hope and democracy. I respect the judiciary to the extent that the perception problem that it has today is addressed, because ultimately if we have a judiciary that people do not see as credible, then it takes us back to a de facto APC one-party dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Not de jure, but de facto. Mm-hmm. And that is why we must come together now and prepare for the next election and not give APC another opportunity to entrench themselves in power, because that is going to mark the end of our democratic experiment, and it will make the region a laughing joke of the region, of Africa, and indeed the world. We have come so far, and now we are seen as a country that is teetering on the collapse of the democracy that our people fought for so hard. So I see the made it very clear that I will work to transform our judiciary to make sure that it works for our people. At the end of the day, if we do not have a judiciary that is perceived as working for ordinary people, we may end up not even having a sham of a parliament in the future. We may end up with a situation in which one man and only one man determines the destiny of our nation. History will judge us harshly if we allow that to happen.
Okay.
Let's organize, and let's win for our people.
Okay. Mr. Ali Kaba, presidential aspirant of the Sierra Leone People's Party. It's been good talking to you, and I'm quite sure that listeners and readers of the Sierra Leone Telegraph would really sort of welcome a lot of the things that you've discussed today. Thank you very much for taking part in this interview, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.